This is the heavy metal rebel Frankie Kazarian,
the violent delight Scorpio Sky,
and the fallen angel Christopher Daniels, and SCU are listening to Ringside Podcast. SCU!
You're listening to the Ringside Podcast.
Sitting at ringside,
the show that brings you all that is pro wrestling, news, interviews, and opinions.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
With Daniel Spencer,
the most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
Jeremy Wallman,
I'm the best in the world at what I do.
And Justin Kruger,
your arms are just too short to box with God.
And now, let's ring the bell and start the show.
Welcome to the Ringside Podcast. I'm Daniel Spencer.
I'm Jeremy Wallman.
And a winner of the 2019 Women's Reddit Rumble Pool, JK.
Interesting you say that, because we have a different discussion about that.
I was going to say, well, I think a couple of people in the room won some money off of the Royal Rumble this weekend. So congratulations to you both. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, but I've been in the pools for the last couple of years. You never been in a Royal Rumble pool?
No.
So what it is that you get it, you pay an entry fee, then you have a random draw, and then you get a number. So whatever your number is your number for the Royal entry.
So it's not like you picked Seth Rollins to win.
It's basically
I didn't pick the number.
I got given number 10.
It's like it's like a potluck draw for like the Kentucky Derby, basically.
I was in three different pools. I was in a pool that had men's and women's, which I could have done men's and women's in this one. This was just more expensive. So the cheaper option, I had number 16 in the women's and 14 in the men's, which was Dean Ambrose, and it being Naomi in the women's. And then in the one that was the most expensive, the one that I won, I just did one pull, and I had number 10, which was Seth Rollins. Nice. Last year I was number 3, and my guy got thrown out pretty early.
You said Seth Rollins was number 10, right?
Yes.
Did we forget in all this that Ty Dillinger was not perfect 10 in this Rumble?
Ty Dillinger wasn't even in the Rumble, period. Therefore, I'm glad, because when I saw that, I think if we get Ty Dillinger again at number 10, I made 3 years in a row, and I'm over the gimmick. And he did not come out at all. So good job, WWE, for putting – and when Seth Rollins went to the table, went down for a while, I was like, my chances are pretty good. He's going to be in the final two because he's chilling over there for a while. So that's a way to getting him out.
In a way, the man won the Rumble twice. Seth Rollins called himself the man when he was a heel.
Well, I am okay with both of the winners of the Royal Rumble. We're going to talk about the Royal Rumble. We're jumping way ahead, ladies and gentlemen.
Jump way ahead.
It's all Jeremy's fault. But yes, congratulations, JK. Even though technically, according to your statistics, I don't think you won that. If you want to say you won it, that's fine. Because you technically were not number 30. You were number 30, not number 28, which is what Becky Lynch was. We could talk about that another time. So...
Yeah, you don't want this smoke today, I promise.
Oh, but there's a lot of proof that she was number 28. She's a replacement, number 28 replacement. So therefore, she wasn't number 30. Let's talk about something that let's talk about what Ringside Podcast has done. Okay.
Okay.
At the start of 2019, we had our first ever episode for the year. Okay, and we had a very special guest, an awesome guest, a great guy, a great friend of the show now. The one and only Double J, Jeff Jarrett. And since he's been on the show, Jeremy, what has happened with Double J, Jeff Jarrett?
He got destroyed by Elias.
I didn't know your name was Jeremy, but okay.
Well, Daniel, he has not only been on the Royal Rumble pay-per-view as entry number – he was entry number 2, correct?
He was, yeah.
He's also been on Monday Night Raw, so – I don't want to take any credit for his success. Who are we kidding? Yes, I do. That's my thing. We're glad we could help out, Jeff, and we appreciate you being a friend of the program, and best of luck. Hopefully we see a lot more of you. I hope so. I think it's probably just a short-term thing, but I would love to see more double – I would love to see Double J as the new commissioner. I know they're not going to do that, but I love everything about
it. Well, it could. And you know what? I mean, we jokingly tease. I mean, it is cool that he was part of Ringside, and this whole month has turned into this with this the show he did, and we partnered with him, and you know, and all that stuff. It is kind of cool. We jokingly say,
I wonder if he knew then, or if this was something that well, just popped up.
Ain't we great?
I see what you did there.
Yeah. But off the record, we'll have a conversation.
Okay.
But it was just cool how he, you know, he came on the show graciously. And I think he knew things were in the works and something. But the bottom line is that it's just cool that we are part of this. And, you know, like I said, we want to jokingly say we skyrocketed him back to being, you know, of course, he's done things. I mean, his name itself is getting back into the contract. We're just teasing like we had something to do with it. But it is pretty cool to be a part of something like that. And thanks to Jeff, man, and congratulations on being re-signed. It looks like it's a good deal. You're going to be on TV for a while and be an agent in the back and all this other stuff. So it's kind of cool. I mean, it's where he needs to be, for sure.
That's awesome. I've been kind of – my niece and my wife have been sick the last few days, so we watched the Rumble together. I was unaware that anything had been established contract wise. I just thought, so you're saying it's official. Congratulations. Yeah. I was joking before. I'm serious now. You deserve it.
Yeah,
do.
He signed back with some kind of he's going to be on air for a little bit here and there, but he's got like a backstage role. And not sure if it'll turn into, like you said, a commissioner or something like that.
I'm hoping his job is just to come out and hit Elias with a guitar every week. That'd be fine with me.
That'll be funny. So, yeah, so I'm trying to think where I saw it at. Maybe this might be it while we're waiting on OneWrestling.com is reporting that Jarrett is joining WWE for a behind-the-scenes role as a producer. Immediately confirmed that this is added that Jarrett would also be appearing on TV performer as well. There's no word yet on the role, or will it just be occasional appearances? So,
I'm fine with it either way. Yeah. He part of my childhood, part of my adulthood. I'm glad to see him on
it. And I love he says, listen, slap nuts.
Yes.
When he comes out. That was great.
I think last night that was an homage to JK.
Well,
because he didn't say in the interview at all until I egged him on to say it.
Well, I've got the inside scoop, okay?
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, Jeff Jarrett and Elias were actually supposed to duet together, but I slid Elias a little money to whack him with the guitar as payback for calling me a slap ass.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's why Elias all of a sudden turned heel. We'll talk about that, too, because he went back to heel, which I love heel Elias, but I kind of...
For anybody wondering, that is a work, brother.
I don't think anybody wondered.
I believed it. I was for sure that he paid him off.
Well, there are some people that will take it quite literally.
Yeah.
So I have to disclose it for the record because I am JK and I tell it like it is.
And shout out to all of our new listeners from Jeff Jarrett Show as well as the Haley Shadows episode. Yeah. You know, Haley's a great gal and her coming on, a lot of people, fans of her that started listening. And you followed along. I don't know if you liked the last episode as much, but hey, hopefully you're listening this week and you keep on board. Thank you for all the new listeners out there. We appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll have Jeff and Haley on in the future.
Shout out to our listeners from Stamford, Connecticut. I mean,
we do have listeners from Stamford.
Every episode, we get listeners from Stamford.
They watch Big Brother, and Big Brother is watching us.
That's true. So, shout out to Paul and Vince. We appreciate y'all taking a listen.
And also, real quick, I want to give a shout out to the OVW. We're the official podcast of OVW. And this week now, when this airs, the show had already been recorded. But don't forget to watch this week's OVW television. You have the Monster Abyss, the current OVW champion and current or new WB signee, defending the championship against Tony Gunn. That's going to be
cashing in his opportunity.
Yeah, that's going to be, and it was demanded. Dean Hill said he had to show up and defend this title now. So it's going to be interesting because it's been over 30 days since he's defended it. And he defended it against Hurricane Helms, who also, congratulations, just re-signed with the WB as a producer backstage and an agent. So that's awesome.
There we go. Yeah. So OVW 1000 was the last time he defended his title?
No, OVW Christmas Chaos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Did I say 1000? I thought I said the Christmas Chaos. I don't know. Anyway, that was the last time he did. It's over a month since he defended it.
Got it.
So,
that's a long time. He tried to step to me that night.
He did.
And I had to be restrained.
He did. Yeah. That's the rumor. That's what we're hearing.
We'll pull the security camera footage if we need to. But let's jump right in.
Well, before we do that, we'll give a shout out to all of our sponsors. Yeah. We give a shout out to Collar and Elbow. Go to collarandelbowbrand.com. When you use promo code Ringside, you save 10%. So just go to checkout, get everything you want in your cart. Go to checkout, go to buy, and then just hit discount code Ringside, all capital letters, save 10%. Might as well round up to make it an even number, and then boom, get your wrestling apparel. The best wrestling apparel today.
You get 10% off to honor the man who won the 2019 Royal Rumble, Seth Rollins himself.
Number 10, 10% off. There you go. Look at that callback. And also, Alan's One Touch Photography. When you go to Alan's One Touch Photography, you order any set, you save 20% on the entire set, no matter what it is. So Alan's One Touch Photography. Hit him up on Facebook. All right, guys, you ready?
Are you ready? I'm ready. Let's go.
I'm not.
So let's talk about the Royal Rumble pay-per-view that we just happened. Should we break down the matches? Should we just go straight into the Rumble?
What we normally do is we give our first impression score. Then we go match by match.
We've never done that. We just go match
by
match.
No, we have done that before. And then at the end, we said, oh, well, at first we thought it was this amount of stars. And then I don't know where y'all been, but I've done that before.
Okay. Well, anyways, why don't we do this? Let's just go ahead. I don't have the card up. I'm bringing it up now because apparently I wasn't prepared. It's usually JK's job anyways to have it all up. No, I'm just saying.
I don't need a card, son.
That wasn't a knock. I just said it's usually his job to have the card up is what I meant. Not his job to have it ready for me. And that's not what I meant.
I don't need a card, son. I got this.
Ooh. Okay, what was the first match? Let's start with the first match.
Are we counting the pre-show? Because they had a pretty good match on there.
I don't even watch the pre-show. There was a pre-show?
Oh, come on, man. You missed out on the Fatal 4-Way for the Cruiserweight title.
Well, I was technically in the emergency room immediate care of my daughter who got the flu. So I kind of have a fair reason for missing it. but I mean, as far as, yeah, what was the, go ahead and talk about the pre-show. I didn't see it, so I can't judge it.
I didn't watch the pre-show until I got I was working till 5:30.
Okay.
I got to my friend's house around 6:30 or so after I'd picked up food. So the first match I saw was that Fatal 4-Way with Buddy Murphy, Kalisto, Akira Tozawa, and Hideo Itami. If nobody saw that, go watch.
Well, that was technically according to this, that was the third pre-show match.
Yeah, it was the last pre-show match. Okay, I'm saying that's the first one I watched.
Okay, but I got you.
I did watch Shinsuke versus Rusev,
and apparently Shinsuke won, and it caused Lana to hurt her ankle, which is very important because it helps us down the road. They did replay it a couple times, so if you missed the pre-show, you did see that Lana got hurt during the show. So they did a good job playing back to that. So
yeah, go see that Fatal 4-Way if you haven't yet. That was a solid 4-star match easily. Lots of high drama, especially towards the end.
I didn't see it. I was out getting food for everybody.
Ended up being a 12-minute match. That sounds like a little short match for a Fatal 4, but you know what? For what it is, I'm fine with it. We started off, though, with the pre-show. It's Bobby Roode and Chad Gable against Scott Dawson and Rizar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the AOP. AOP. Yeah. Okay. I forgot their name.
The stipulation was is if that makeshift team won, they earned themselves the future tag team title shot.
Well, looks like Brood and Gable won, which, shockingly, that was a 6-minute match. That sounds like a quick match. Then you got Shinsuke beating Rusev, Lana getting hurt and causing distraction, which had a roll-up. It was a roll-up finish, wasn't it?
I can feel the Chekhov's gun pressed against my head in this one.
10-minute match. We talked about the Fatal 4-Way with 12 minutes. You got Buddy Murphy kept the title. All right, so then it starts off the Royal Rumble with the women's title match for the SmackDown women's title match. I'm shocked that it started here, but it makes sense.
Yes. It was a good move. It was a pace setter. You want to have a good pace setter.
You have Asuka, the champion, against Becky Lynch, the challenger, a rematch challenger, who lost it the last match. And I'm okay with who won, but I'm not okay with the finish.
Yeah. I was about to say that really – the match was awesome. Becky should have never tapped out.
17-minute match. Becky should have tapped out.
She's the man. That means she should not.
She should have passed out.
Exactly. Not tapped out. Gosh, we're on the same level, and it scares me. That's exactly what I said.
When she was in the submission, I said she better pass out. If she taps out, it's going to, even though there's a, that's good, she might go in the, be in the Women's Rumble, it still, it's the man. Now, obviously, we find out it didn't hurt her cred with the crowd, but it does hurt her credibility because then somebody...
Yeah, I mean, delegitimizes her. It's like, okay, you can beat everybody. You're gonna go beat Ronda Rousey, but you tapped out to Asuka?
Beat Charlotte, but Charlotte beat Asuka. So it's just
Maybe that's the story they're trying to tell.
I don't know. We'll see what story they're trying to tell. What story they are telling is that Becky Lynch can't defeat Asuka. Asuka beat her twice, technically.
Right.
So that's I don't like that story. I think it would have been okay. Or, you know, Asuka got her on a pin and like caught her off guard and got her into the 1-2-3. I'm okay with her losing the match. I think you could have protected both of them by having a disqualification finish, having a count out.
Now, I thought that Ronda was going to come out and interfere. That was my first intuition was Ronda's going to come out here and cost her the match.
That would have been okay, but even then though, you still could have had a count out. Something could have happened that caused her not to get.
This was the absolute worst way she could have lost that match.
You disagree. Being here, me and you on the exact same page.
That sucks.
But you disagree. You think she lost it, the way she lost it was fine.
I'm fine with it only because I thought the submission that Asuka pulled out to win the match was very cool because it was. Let's face it, I thought I heard that it was an Asuka lock. It's not. It's a north-south choke if anybody has any sort of knowledge with Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Look at that.
I'm more than fine with it because it demonstrates how deadly Asuka is. And with her as SmackDown Women's Champion, they need to restore her credibility somehow. Maybe this will get her to have a good match at WrestleMania, maybe a marquee match. I don't know who exactly, but we'll find out.
So I'm going to get, because of this match, because of the way it ended, it drops it down to a 3.5 for me.
I will say a 4-star.
I would have gave it a 4-star just because of the fit. Now, I do like her submission. It cheapened it. It shouldn't happen to Becky Lynch. That's all. That's why I give it a 3.5. What about you, Jeremy?
Same. 3.5.
Okay. So we got that match. That's match one. All right. Let's go on to match two. It was the SmackDown Tag Team title match between The Miz and Shane McMahon versus the champions, The Bar, Cesaro and Sheamus. 13-minute match. By the way, the last match was 17 minutes. Every bit of that was great. It went by fast. Felt like it could have been longer on the Becky Lynch match. But anyways, back to that 13-minute match. Of course, we get The Miz and Shane McMahon defeating The Bar, which Shane McMahon.
This may have been the match of the night.
It's up there,
Rumbles
man.
Rumbles aside, this may have been the match of the night.
I mean, you've got you have Shane McMahon doing a 450 shooting star press, whatever you want to call it.
Daniel,
what do you call that, man? I think it was just a shooting star press.
A shooting star press is 270 degrees.
It technically is. You're right. It's not 450, but like you look at him doing it, and you look at someone like Brock Lesnar 15 years ago. Now Brock Lesnar used to do it years ago here in OVW, but 15 years ago couldn't finish it off. Shane McMahon had probably never practiced it one time in his life, and look at the dude. Like it's unbelievable.
What are you talking about? He did it in his match with AJ Styles.
He did it in his match with AJ Styles?
Yes.
I don't remember him doing it in his match with AJ Styles.
I don't either, but I'm
at WrestleMania?
Saying.
Yes.
I have to go back and watch it.
Yeah, I didn't. I was unaware.
I have a very troubling idea of how to analyze this match.
Okay.
Okay.
The work itself, I honestly didn't care for it, but the fact that Shane McMahon did that shooting star press at the very end of the match sort of saved it for me.
I thought for me, I thought he was going to do a moonsault, and then when I saw that he didn't turn around, I was like, "What is he about to? Oh my God!"
Well, come on, it's Shane McMahon. What's the more ballsy move?
I know. I was sitting there thinking, well, he's not done anything crazy yet. It would not be a Shane McMahon match without him doing something crazy.
But I do like that. I do like that. Shane was like the story still goes. Shane is pretty much the workhorse and kicking the butt, and Miz is not doing much. So it kind of like is leading to a Shane-Miz match at WrestleMania. Yeah. I know that's where it's going.
Absolutely.
But I like that the way they laid out the match was very storytelling. Very, you could see Shane is kicking ass, and getting his ass kicked, but yet wins the match. And Miz had no desire. Now I do think that eventually Miz is going to get the covers after Shane like did everything. I do think it's going to come down to that stuff later. But I overall like this match. Like, it was good stuff.
I'll give it a 3.
That's fair. Really? That's fair. I'll give it a 3.5 again.
I was going to give it a 4.
Okay, so Jeremy got a 4, 3.5, and JK got a 3. Okay. Next up, we have the Raw Women's title match with the champion Ronda Rousey against Sasha Banks. This is another 13-minute match.
4 stars, 4 and then some. Maybe 4.25.
This may have been the match of the night. I'll be honest with you. The night of the Rumble, as it's happening live, the first 3 matches just jumped off the chart to me. In retrospect, they weren't as good as that. But the most important thing of any good pay-per-view is to start off with a match that gets interest and that you're involved in and you're invested in. And that's what they did the other night. And then they followed it up with a great tag team match. And then they followed it up with a great title match. I thought that this is an early, and obviously we're a month into the year almost. This is an early leader for a women's match of the year so far.
Interesting.
What?
I was just seeing something down here that said Becky Lynch is number 28 as replacement. I'm sorry. Let me go back up. I got a 2-head in the game. Okay. So this match, I won't say great. It was really good.
I thought it was really good.
I'm getting kind of over the Sasha Banks a little bit, and I'm also over Ronda Rousey a little bit. So I think like both
of them. I've never been under her to be over her.
Well, oh my God.
I mean, what? I'll go under any one of them, but I'm just saying, I'm definitely.
These little chauvinists right here.
Actually, I'm even lost attraction for Sasha Banks, even as a I'm not even attracted. Anyways, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm just not. I'm just not a fan of Sasha anymore.
She is.
Maybe it's because we know like what she did to our pal Jay Lee. Like, she listened to the show and then she beat the crap out of her when it was like uncalled for. Maybe that's. I don't know. Maybe I'm like on. I'm Team Jay Lee, man. Team Jay Lee.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's what it is. But still, Sasha is still one of the best women's wrestlers on that entire roster. And she was able, and y'all always, excuse me, give me a bunch of crap when I say John Cena only has good matches because of the people he has matches with. Any of his top 5 matches, in my opinion, have been because of the people he's wrestled against. AJ, Shawn, you know, the list goes on and on. With that being said, I think Ronda's going to be the same way. Ronda had a good match because she was wrestling Sasha.
But I have to give Ronda credit.
This was her best match that I've saw her have so far.
I wouldn't disagree there, but except for the WrestleMania match last year, the first match. But what I'm stating though is that Ronda technically hasn't had a bad match since she's been in. I haven't watched a match and go that was the drizzling shits. I promo wise, yes. But I'm talking about.
She made up for that last night at the end, though.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about that. But I'm just. When it comes to matches, though, Ronda's surprisingly been good.
Yeah, but she makes a lot of mistakes.
So does Charlotte Flair.
But see, Charlotte knows how to cover them up because I've never watched the Charlotte. I'm not discrediting you. I've never seen her mess up in a match.
I've seen Charlotte.
Ronda's only been wrestling for a solid 9 months in her career.
That's a fair.
But Charlotte messed up in the Royal Rumble the other night. I mean, Charlotte messes up. All the best mess up.
Right. I'm just saying, I just find myself every time I see Ronda Rousey have a match. And then last night, we'll talk about that later.
Okay, so I'm gonna give it 4 stars, this match.
Same.
You know, it's worthy of that to me. And I like the finish. I think it all works, makes sense. And then I think the aftermath could have been a little bit better. Could have been more,
yeah.
You know, like Sasha should have been more like pushing back, or I don't know. It's leading to some kind of another some kind of a women's four horsemen against four horsemen, yes, kind of deal. I get
that's
that.
That's what pushed it up to a four to me. It was Sasha teasing the whole four horsemen thing at the what? Yes, JK, slowly. Okay.
Yes, we just been dead.
I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
I've been calling this since November.
It's
happening.
We didn't say we didn't say you haven't. All right. So next up,
I'm JK Stradamus now.
Jack Stradamus.
So next up, we
Jack
have
Astrodamus.
Next up, we have the Women's Royal Rumble, which this was actually, I think, supposedly based on what I'm looking at time wise, this might have been overtime. It was one hour and 12 minutes was the total, and it was seemed a little long, so it probably could have cut. They could have cut that down by 10 minutes and been fine, but well booked. Rumble,
for the second year in a row, it was the better Rumble match.
And I like that they didn't bring – there was a couple surprises, but it was not like last year where you had all
former
the
star.
Former star. They allowed NXT to show up. They allowed it to – they have enough roster to be able to do it, and they planned it out very, very well. I mean, you had – I tell you who I fell in love with is that Casey
Catanzaro.
Oh, my gosh. She
That's
is,
the one from American Ninja Warrior, right?
Yep. Yeah, and she is amazing. I know she dates Ricochet right now, but, girl, come holler at your boy. That's all I'm saying.
Rhea Ripley was in there. Yeah. Io Shirai. You're more familiar with the foreign talent. Who were the other?
Shai Lee was in it.
Yeah. Kairi Sane. Kairi Sane was
what's
there,
the other girl from Japan or so, China? The girl from China.
Yeah,
China.
Shai Li.
Shai Li. Okay, that's how you say it. Okay, yeah. I knew it started with an X, so I don't speak that language. All right, so we used to speak it, Jeremy.
Shout out to all of our friends over there. We'll address that next.
Maria Kornelis.
I was shocked by
Kornelis.
It's Maria Kanellis.
Respect her name. It's Kanellis.
Oh, I met Kanellis. Oh,
Maria. I love Maria.
I didn't know I said Kanellis. Did I say Kanellis?
Yes. I love Maria. Maria's probably one of my favorite
And she like had like quite a minutes in the ring, too. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like...
So
she was in there for... It has her for 8 minutes and 8 minutes and 12 seconds, so that's pretty good.
I was only shocked that Shayna Baszler didn't make an appearance.
I agree.
I wasn't shocked, though. She's still the NXT Women's Champion.
Yeah, but the NXT Men's Champion competed in the Men's Royal Rumble last year.
Did Men's Champion did?
Yeah, Almas did, didn't he?
What?
I don't remember.
Compete in the Royal Rumble last year?
I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, he did.
Huh. I don't know. I mean, you had the North American Champion show up, Johnny Gargano.
By the way, shout out to Zelina Vega. She was at the MK11 convention a couple weeks ago, cosplayed as Jade, and she arrived at the Royal Rumble dressed as Vega from Street Fighter. I absolutely freaking loved it.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was good. She got a good pop out of that too. Her spot was funny with end of the ring with Hornswoggle and all. That was pretty good to bring Hornswoggle back in that moment. That was pretty nice.
Again, second year in a row, this was exponentially better than the Men's Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I don't know about better, but it was definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were definitely. It's hard to say it was better. They were both just.
There were better moments. I will say that for sure.
Yeah, better moments, especially the.
When Casey Catanzaro was like in the turnbuckle, she did like a handstand or whatever to the turnbuckle, pinned herself with her legs, and literally thrusted herself up and scaled the turnbuckle back up. That is the best Royal Rumble spot I've ever seen.
She also had her little Kofi moment on the outside of the ring too, correct?
Yeah, and then Naomi
that was
did
Naomi,
too. Naomi did both of them. Did both of them?
Oh,
did. Casey had one too. She had she walking on her hands.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, that's how she got to the turnbuckle. Is
right, and then the full flip. Yeah.
Oh, that's what. Okay,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's talking. He's talking about the same.
All right, thing. All right, cool. But yeah, I think I don't even think it was close. I think this was way better, and I think what pushed it over the top was Becky Lynch coming out. As the last woman entered into the Royal Rumble.
And shout out to both Natalya and Ember Moon. Natalya spent 56 minutes in the Rumble. Ember Moon, 52, and actually got hurt during the Rumble, so I don't know when she got hurt yet at the moment, but she obviously worked while she was still hurting in that Rumble. And I think she got hurt last year in the Rumble and still kept working it too. She had one arm. I remember her having one arm, and I think
she's tough.
I think that was kayfabe, though. Apparently, this is real.
No, this is real. No, last time it wasn't kayfabe either. It was legit. She only had one arm. I don't know. Did she have a match?
She had a shoulder injury right after WrestleMania, but not during the Rumble.
Okay.
when it comes to, I trust you both. I love you both in different ways. Neither one of them positive, but when it comes down to stats, JK can tell you wherever WrestleMania City, what the time marks are. When
speaking
everybody
of
enters.
Stats, let's talk about that.
Oh, okay.
So Daniel,
okay, Rhett,
pull it up right so I can read it better.
Okay, what are we reading?
So that says Becky Lynch is the 28th entrant in the Royal Rumble.
And the
she took Lana's spot. But let's talk about what actually happened.
Yeah, we're going to. Because
stats don't tell the whole story.
No,
okay?
We're going to. So it has a there's a little B next to it and says go read the B. Okay. So number 28 entry was actually Lana. Lana comes out, barely can walk. You know, it's a kayfabe entry, but she can barely walk. She can't get to the ring. The refs are coming out. They're checking on her, going on. At this time, you have Nia Jax come out afterwards. Nia Jax comes out at number 29. What does Nia Jax do? Beat the crap out of Lana even more. Beats her in the corner, puts her down. They're trying to stop her. Nia leaves, goes into the ring. Number 30, as announced, is Carmella. We knew that Carmella was going to be number 30 because she won her and R-Truth won the, what you call it? What was it? The Mixed Match Challenge. She comes out as number 30, goes on there. As she gets in the ring, 30's happening. They're show Lana over there. They're trying to, she's getting mad. She can't get in the ring. She's hurting. The ref's there. You got Fit Finley there, who's an agent, who actually agents most of the women and agents this match. So he's sitting there. Here comes Becky Lynch. The crowd goes nuts. She comes walking out. She's sitting there. She's pointing. She's begging Fit Finley to let her in. But they're looking at Lana, looking at Becky Lynch, going back and forth. And then Lana obviously can't go. He looks over and he says, let me, he points at her like, let me in because of her. She points. He says, go on. And she goes into the Rumble and enters that spot as the number 28 replacement because Lana was number 28. So that's why they're counting her.
She was still the 30th person into the ring.
But that's it, okay. Okay, hold on. So let's just say
I did hold on.
Hold on. Let's just okay. Let me ask you this: Lana gets up and goes in the ring. She's number 30 that makes it in the ring. No. Let's say Becky doesn't come out. Lana gets up and walks to rolls into the ring. Would Lana be number 28 or would Lana be number 30? Because technically,
she would be 28 because she completed her entrance all the way through.
But if Becky
didn't draw a number.
But if you have a replacement, it's still the same thing as if Lana got up and walked into the ring after two other people went in the Rumble. Go ahead, JK.
Exactly my point. You made it for me. I'm grateful you saved me all the trouble. But Lana's number 28 entrant was never official because she was not able to enter the ring. In kayfabe, you're never official until you enter the ring. And before you ask,
I'm not asking anything. I
am consistent, so I don't recognize Billie Kay as whatever entrant number she had. So given that, Nia Jax was the 28th woman to enter the ring, right?
Yeah. Nia Jax was into the ring?
Yes.
She would technically, I guess so.
She is technically the 28th woman.
To enter the ring, but not to enter the Rumble. There's a difference.
The Rumble was occurred in the ring.
So,
hey, Michael, what do you think?
That's not wrong, Michael. That's not Michael Cole, but nice try.
It was.
That was actually Tom Phillips.
That's Tom Phillips.
That's what I said. I told y'all Tom Phillips.
So Becky Lynch, according to this, according to every poll, according to WWE.com, is the replacement for Lana, therefore number 28.
But congratulations to number 30, Becky Lynch, for winning the Royal Rumble.
But if your Reddit.com poll wants to give you the winning as being the 30, that's fine. But every other poll is counting number 28 as
the
winner.
Tom Phillips poll didn't.
Tom Phillips also gets in trouble for women in the face or whatever. So, you know, that's another thing.
I hope that's going to be edited out because I got church people that listen to the show.
It probably will.
But listen to me. Becky Lynch was the last woman in the Royal Rumble. She won the Royal Rumble as the final.
Why are we arguing about this? She was who we all wanted to win. The man is going to WrestleMania.
But the bottom line is, if you got considered to be, if the person that ran your poll called you the winner at 30, but every other poll has 28, if they came back to you and said no, actually 28, and you can argue with them and go with that battle. But if you get counted as 30 and you get counted as that was the winner, that's fine. But no other polls are doing it that way, so it's okay.
Well, let's try the Ringside Podcast poll. How many people think she was number 28? Raise your hand. How many people think that she was 30?
There's
majority
other,
rules. The Ringside
Fire,
Podcast.
Fire and Ice. Poll. Fire and Ice are technically not here.
No. They can't raise their they hand. Don't. They.
How about
the,
this?
The YouTube
show. After this Daniel show, Spencer. When this show airs, I'll tweet at. When this show's airing, I'll tweet out a poll, and they can pick it. They can go from there.
No, we don't need that. We have our opinions and thoughts. No. We don't need validation.
I have my own validation, and Daniel Spencer trying to argue that Becky Lynch was number 28. He single handedly went from the Charles Robinson of OVW to the Barry Horowitz.
Well, thank
that
you
was
for
all, that was all Charles, worth it right there.
Thank you for calling me Charles Robinson at one time. I appreciate that. All right. Anyway, so Becky Lynch wins the Royal Rumble. She finally by what do you call it? Eliminating Charlotte, which was a no. Was it Charlotte?
My personal opinion, yeah. I thought the final two spot was dragged on way too freaking long.
And that's why I only gave it a 4.5.
Yeah. So let's
a 4.5.
Yes, absolutely. That it was packed with spots and surprises all the way through.
I'm going to give it a 4.
The Becky thing put it over the top for
me.
Well,
you know what?
Even though I knew it was going to happen.
You're right. The 4.5 for me, too. What do you get it, JK?
I'm going to say if Becky didn't win, it was on its way to being a 2.75. Becky winning alone bumps it up to 3.5.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, that's 3.5. Okay. That's a big jump, though, from Becky winning. You get a whole
well,
point.
Anybody else winning the Women's Rumble would have been an absolute mistake. And don't get me wrong. I thought Charlotte was going to win. I thought that was actually the right call because Becky Lynch maybe getting her way in the Rumble through something was the better storyline. But
right. Well, you had an awesome storyline and idea, which was actually her tricking R-Truth into giving her his spot and her winning the Men's Royal Rumble and cashing in on Rhonda.
Being because she's the man. Yeah. I mean, I like that idea, yeah.
I would not have been – that would have been the greatest moment in Royal Rumble history.
It would have been good. Like, it would have been great, but I also would have been disappointed because a man didn't win the – it would have caused controversy.
The man transcends and even all though, Rumble matches.
What happened in the Men's Royal Rumble also caused controversy. We'll talk about that in a moment. So next up is a match that, man, I felt bad for this match because you would think this would have been a match to watch, but after following the Women's Royal Rumble – it just was a boring match, but you had the champion for the SmackDown for the WWE SmackDown champion or WWE Championship SmackDown title, Daniel Bryan, the champion against AJ Styles. 24-minute match.
I thought it was a very, very good match. I absolutely loved the finish.
I mean it was okay. It's just hard to follow that ups and downs you had from the Women's World.
It was hard to follow. And here's the thing. We expect so much from Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. If they don't have a 5-star match every time they come out, then we tend to think that they've let us down, even though it was a very good match.
It just was in a bad spot. They should have flip-flopped. It should have been after the Brock Lesnar.
I don't disagree.
I think the Women's Rumble should have closed the pay-per-view.
No, because what happened with the men's, it's good that it didn't. But I just still think the women's closed last year and it deserved to close last year. But
see, I thought the women's one was horrible last year.
It was okay.
Well, it was the first one, and it was good. It was okay last year. But I
thought it was better than the men's.
But Brock Lesnar should have followed this match,
right.
Not AJ
yeah,
Styles and
you're right.
Bryan.
So you're saying the two title matches should have flipped.
Should have flipped.
Agreed.
100%. And that would have made that Daniel Bryan AJ Styles match bigger in my eyes and gave me a and would have been a better spot. And the crowd would have been – the crowd would have not been into – the crowd wasn't into those two matches. They were ready for the Men's Royal Rumble.
They were just
ready and get out of there. So anyways, I want to give that 3.5 just because of the spot it's in, not because of the performers, just because of the – and I couldn't get into the match myself. So when you can't get into it, even when you have two great talents, that hurts the match credibility. That's why if it was in the Tokyo Dome, it might have get 4.5.
I will say 3.5 as well.
I'm going to give it a 3.51.
Whatever, 3.5, you dumbass. All right, so.
All right, Bob Barker, show us what's through the next door.
I'm gonna change mine to $1.
All right, so next
overbid,
up,
y'all overbid, I get the prize.
I'm liking Daniel keeping the title and keep being champion.
Daniel as a heel has been absolutely phenomenal,
and the whole like adding Eric Rowan to that has been very interesting, to say the least. I'm curious to see, as we're recording this, we haven't watched SmackDown the week, so I'm curious to see what the story is going to be with this whole Eric Rowan thing.
I'm going to watch it as soon as we stop recording.
I don't know. I mean, I guess It's interesting. I don't think he needs Eric Rowan, but I guess that it's like going to be the bodyguard to get to him. And maybe Luke Harper will join too. I don't know. We'll find out. So I don't know how many times Eric Rowan's going to have gimmick changes, though. More than Big Show, I guess. Next up, we've got the Brock Lesnar Universal title match. Brock Lesnar champion versus Finn Balor. Finn Balor did not come out as a demon, so you know what that told me?
He
was going to lose.
I thought he was going to lose from the jump. I didn't think he had a chance.
Well, but
and I love Finn Balor. He's one of my favorite wrestlers, but he didn't have a shot at winning this match.
2.0 for me.
Damn, that's tough. I'll actually give it a 3-star match.
And I'm going to give it a 2.5. I thought y'all were going to scoff at my score.
The best moment about the Lesnar-Bauer match was the
memeable moment.
Yeah.
I never laughed at that.
I didn't either.
I don't know. I mean, it's a meme that's going around and everyone's showing it, but it's
funny because WWE's actual Reddit account made that.
Oh, okay.
I'll accept that then.
All right. Final show. That was only an 8-minute match, by the way. Final match was the Men's Royal Rumble, which was right under an hour at 57 minutes. I felt like they might have been rushed a little bit because I think they had a full hour and they dropped it down to 57 minutes because the other one ran.
Definitely felt rushed because there were several eliminations. One that jumps right off the top of my head, Bobby Lashley's.
That was great.
I thought that was just extremely, bravo.
Which was just extremely too fast.
No, that was important.
I thought that was right.
That was right. That was important. Yeah, bravo.
I'm just saying you're just a Bobby Lashley hater. The thing is that there were multiple instances like that where guys got in the right. JK, you may know this right off the top of your head, but there were at least 6 guys that got in and got thrown right back out, and you could tell that it was that something. They're not popping back in my head right now as I'm talking about it, but there were multiple people that got. You could tell that it was rushed and that the women's one went too long. Yeah,
I will say this. They definitely got the right amount of cameo appearances in there.
Yeah, and shout out once again to Jeff Jarrett being number 2. What a good surprise. You had a lot of other good surprises from Johnny Gargano.
Aleister Black?
Well, we're getting there. I was going in order. But
okay, I'm sorry.
So it's fine. Aleister Black. I was shocked. I don't know why.
The Bruiserweight.
I was actually shocked that that Pete Dunne was on there. I mean, I was shocked with that.
I was hoping for the Dream.
I was hoping for Ricochet, but
I was shocked that there was no EC3 or any of the other guys that they
I was shocked Kurt Hawkins was going to be in it because
he got an elimination.
He did get an elimination.
So is this losing streak over?
No, he has to win the match according to Michael Cole. Actual Michael Cole, not right. No, I'm sorry.
But hey,
Michael Cole called that one. Small victories count. And then at the very end, a nice surprise when you had, R-Truth coming out and then getting the crap beat out of him intact and then taking his spot, says it here again. Nia Jax was the 4th ever woman to enter. You have Chyna, Beth Phoenix,
Karma,
and then now Nia Jax.
It ruined the Rumble for me.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
Because it had the greatest moment ever.
The Rumble.
When you had Mysterio.
They have a women's Royal Rumble match. That's where she should have been.
She was in it.
Can you imagine the outroar, the outcry if R-Truth would have entered number 30 in the women's Royal Rumble and threw every one of them out and won it?
You know what? That would have been freaking funny. He came out the wrong Royal Rumble. That would have been the best. That would have been funny. He would come out. He's in the Royal Rumble. He comes out to that.
In any other year before last year, I would have been like, that's cool. But they've got a women's Royal Rumble match. That's where they need to be. The men need to be in the men's Royal Rumble match. It ruined the whole night.
So that would have made more sense, and that would have gave JK a better shot at being number 30. If he comes out at number 30 as the women's Royal Rumble, he realizes he's not in it, and then Becky Lynch comes like, get out of here, and she takes your spot. But the only problem is you have Carmella that also was 30, so you had to come up with some storyline with that.
For me,
but Carmella looked great out there, by the way, in the Royal Rumble too, the women's Royal Rumble.
Absolutely.
But
it ruined it for me. I
don't I, I'm okay with it because she got her butt kicked by Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio, and Dolph Ziggler. I thought it was great, and it was a great spot, great moment. I was totally fine with it.
I give it a 3.2.
A lot of people got there's a lot of controversy out there though. People are upset about it, but I'm okay because of women brutality or whatever. That's why people are upset.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they said she's taken.
So they've been cool with Lucha Underground for the last 6 years.
Well, but
they WWE probably haven't watched it.
They haven't
watched
this. But here's what's happening though: WWE is going to have intergender matches coming in 2019. So I think they're starting to build those up now and starting to show. That's why they're doing mixed match challenges.
I don't know about that one, Chief.
They've already said it.
Chief is already is happening.
It's already been stated.
But the Royal Rumble's a pass though because it's a novelty match.
Well, I get it, but they're testing the waters out. They're testing the
waters. And it's fine. I'm fine with testing the waters, but again, it goes back to the possible implications. Like, our sponsor is going to be upset if, say, Becky Lynch does a one-on-one match with Braun Strowman and gets the absolute shit kicked out of her.
They will protect. They won't do that. It's a work, bro. They're going to protect the women.
They wouldn't do it that extreme, but I mean, we can't. China defeated our boy for the Intercontinental Championship.
Let's not talk about that. That never happened.
That never happened. All I'm saying is, for me, I'm not one of those people that women don't. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they created the Women's Royal Rumble match so that they can have a spotlight to shine, and they've done that the last 2 years. The last 2 years, their Royal Rumble match has been better than the Men's Royal Rumble match, in my opinion. But that spot that Nia came out in,
I was fine.
The thing is everybody was pumped all night for a surprise entrant because we all seen all the rumors.
We got three of them. We got Jeff Jarrett, we got Pete Dunne, we got Aleister Black, we got three of them.
Gargano, you forgot him.
Oh, Johnny Gargano, four of them. Yeah, I did.
But no, those aren't surprise. Those guys currently work for WWE. That's not Jeff Jarrett was a surprise. He was a bring back. We all saw the rumors that they were working on a huge surprise for the Royal Rumble, and if it panned out, it was going to blow everybody's mind. But evidently, it didn't. And that person was going to come in at 30. Evidently, and it's also been said today that Vince spent. While the women's Royal Rumble match was going on, he was rewriting the men's Royal Rumble. So evidently, the word came that whatever it wasn't going to work. But my thing is that I didn't like it. 3.25 for me.
Well, here's the one thing I want to talk about the Royal Rumble, though, the men's Royal Rumble, because for the last like seven episodes, maybe longer, Jeremy. You've been talking about, you knew who's going to win it.
Yeah.
It was no matter what, it was going to be Drew McIntyre.
But that changed Monday night when they said John Cena was out.
No, they didn't announce he was out.
Monday, I'm sorry, not Sunday. Sunday. The second. No, they announced Cena was out before then.
You were calling Drew when you thought Braun was still going to be in it before they announced he was not going to be in it. So he eliminated four people and lasted 20 minutes.
Absolutely. But when they put Braun in that match, to me, and you can ask everybody that was in my living room, I said, Drew don't have a chance to win it anymore. I don't know who's going to win it, but it's not. I said it's going to be either Braun or Seth. It's not going to be Drew.
I jumped off of it 2 weeks ago because I thought after watching Raw that Drew wasn't getting the push that triggered to me that, yeah, he's trying to win
the Rumble. I tried to tell you all.
I jumped off the train 2 weeks ago.
I tried to tell you all that. I'm just saying. I did. But Drew's not – but I'm not saying Drew's not going to be there. Just not
he
yet.
He should be there.
And it's not yet.
He's ready.
But my take on Nia Jax entering the Men's Rumble, I'm fine with it. Because she comes off as believable to compete with the men.
Agree.
And I thought it was going to be the men's or the women's Rumble that was going to see a surprise entrant number 30, sort of. But as long as women are okay with getting equal opportunities with the men, I'm fine with it. And plus, Nia Jax was the first person to compete in both Rumbles matches.
That's kind of what they're touting and everything. So, but what do you think about the finish of the coming down to Braun and Seth and how the finish happened? I thought it was booked well. Yeah. It was done well. I agree with how. I mean, of course, I'm happy that Seth won, but Seth is my favorite wrestler right now. Period. And we've talked about that. Currently, I mean, I'm
greatest Intercontinental champion of all time.
Yeah, exactly. Jeff Jarrett is.
Jeff definitely is.
But But yeah, I mean, so I love Seth. So I'm happy with him winning for double the reasons. One, I won the poll, but two, I'm okay with Seth. Like,
I don't like how WWE gets somebody super hot like they did Braun, and then just extinguishes them like a it just gets on my nerves. To me, it's not believable to me that Seth can eliminate Braun Strowman out of a Royal Rumble match by himself.
But that happens all the time.
The Rock did the Big Show.
Chris Benoit did the Big Show.
Yeah, but to me, Braun Strowman, make no mistake about it, Braun Strowman is the most, and they made him out to be the most dominant big man that WWE has had since Andre the Giant. Better than the Big Show, better than Big John Studd, better than a lot of what Great Khali, and what was the dude that dressed up in the bodysuit? What was his name?
Giant Gonzalez.
Better than all those guys, and it's not even close. They have built him right, and now they're just
Maven eliminated The Undertaker.
Right, that was a mistake. It's been proven
what?
It was a mistake.
How was that a mistake? It was a Royal Rumble moment.
How many times has Maven been a champion at WWE?
It doesn't
since?
Matter. It was a moment.
Right. So, I loved the last two.
That's what
I did not think.
The Royal Rumble,
that Seth should have eliminated.
The Royal
him.
Rumble is the WWE's version of March Madness. Anybody can just eliminate a top dog. You finally had a number one seed get beat. Was it last year or was it the year before that?
Oh, they didn't just get beat, buddy.
Well, I know, but we finally had a boat race. Right, and that they said that will never happen. And over all the years that we finally got to see it happen, but that's the beauty behind the Royal Rumble. The underdog that can never do something can eliminate somebody it's unbelievable. Exactly. That's the whole point. That's why you have to have those moments in the Royal Rumble and have the unbelievable happen.
Yeah, like Curt Hawkins actually eliminating somebody.
That is unbelievable.
Like Curt Hawkins showing up and actually not going right back out like six other guys did. Yeah, I was okay with either one of them.
And he eliminated Titus O'Neil.
I was okay with either one of those, Titus World Slide. Either one of those guys winning it, but I don't think those should have been the last two guys. I think there should have been somebody else. Dean, maybe.
Well,
you want to speak of this is awesome moment.
In the end.
Praise Jesus. I already know what my this is awesome moment is for the week.
In the end, I think they got the final two.
3.25.
I think they got the final two right. I understand what you're saying about Braun Strowman because we both have been pining for him to be Universal Champion by now. I think they've missed the opportunity, but if they're going to go with anybody else, Seth Rollins is the guy. That alone allows me to put it at 3.5.
Okay, that's right about where I put it. You gave it a little bit more credit. Daniel, what did you give it?
I give it 4. So you gave it, what did you give it?
3.25.
3.5.
No, I know what you gave. I was talking to him. Yeah, okay. Okay. So let's see. Let's see what we gave, what everybody gave the overall. All right. So with all the stuff, I wrote them on down. We averaged it out. We all, even though we were high this, low here, we all gave it at 3.5 overall average. If you round it up, you're 3.6. I'm 3.6 as well. But you can't go. You have to go low. Anything under seven or under eight.
What was it? Was it like okay?
You were 3.6 da 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 da, and I was.
Yeah, was that 3.65 or 3.64?
No, you were 3.60.
Okay.
I probably had the lowest aggregate.
You actually were right on 3.5. Like you were the lowest at because we were 3.6 and something, but both of us it equals out to be 3.5.
That's fair.
So yeah.
That makes sense to me.
So we're all gave it a 3.5. So that's for a Royal Rumble. That's not a bad pay-per-view at all. Yeah,
not at all.
I was very sports entertained.
It was an event, and it happened. No, I'm just kidding. It was all right.
So there were no matches that happened.
Before we were good.
Before
we talk about Raw and go to little details in the Raw and other news that we've heard about, let's go into our This Is Awesome moment of the week.
To pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
All right, so Jeremy, go ahead. What is your This Is Awesome moment of the week? Was it happened to be a breaking news story, I think, that happened today. But go ahead and share it, Jeremy.
Oh, it wasn't just awesome news. It was good news, pun intended, as in Jonathan Good, a.k.a. Dean Ambrose, is not renewing his contract after WrestleMania. Praise the Lord and thank Jesus. All three of the guys that I can't stand are not currently on WWE programming and won't be for a while.
Oh, three guys. I was like, I thought you were talking about the Shield for a minute. I was like, Seth is going to be the Universal Champion. I love Champion.
Seth. Seth's been one of my favorites for a while. And by the way, with that being said, still hope for well wishes and a speedy recovery for Roman Reigns.
Oh, he's doing well.
And
he's,
his return to AEW. But as far, no, I'm just kidding. But thank goodness. They've not been able to do anything with Dean. They have validated what I have said since the beginning of this podcast.
But Dean's just going to AEW, dude.
He gone. Yeah, what's he going to do
apparently
there?
Apparently, he's frustrated with the business as a whole.
Oh, so he's a CM Punk?
Retire.
He's a CM Punk?
Okay.
Well, at least he's not just...
He's got enough money. Renee's not going anywhere. She's going to be. She's going to stay there.
I think her... I think
I don't want to speculate, but I don't want to say that Renee would still stay.
I don't think she. I think they're gonna. I think her role will diminish as a result. But here's what I want to say, and this can be a mini pipe. This can be a firecracker, an M80, whatever you want to be. Hi, Dean, Jeremy Wallman, Ringside Podcast. You were thrust. You didn't work your way up and pay your dues like most wrestlers did. You got thrust into the main event.
Wait a minute.
Of WWE.
Wait a minute. Hold on. That's a ding.
I'm talking.
Where's the bell? That's a ding.
Are y'all talking? Okay, good.
That's a ding. No, Johnny Moxley, he earned his dues.
No, he didn't.
He wrestled all over the place for like 10 years before he got it. He's been in the WWE for 10 years.
You didn't hear what I said.
Both his dues.
In the WWE. He did not pay his dues in the WWE. No, he didn't. He got right.
Neither did AJ. AJ Styles didn't pay his dues in WWE.
He didn't need to. He was already a megastar when he came in. Jon Moxley was not. He wasn't even on anybody's radar.
Daniel Bryan. Anyway, Daniel Bryan didn't.
Daniel Bryan was already a megastar.
In the indies. So was Jonny Moxley.
No, he wasn't. No, he was not. I barely even heard of him, and I've
because you don't watch indie wrestling. You say you do.
Oh my God! Okay, talking to the dude that said, you know what? I'm not even gonna look at him anymore.
First off, I disagree.
Ford, that's fine. I respect you disagreeing, but you're not correct in this point. This dude admitted on air.
I did not.
If it wasn't
a
WWE,
ago,
that
first
he
of all, the show started
it.
2 years ago.
Okay, so 2 years ago, he's like, I'm a WWE guy. I don't watch
Lucha Underground. You name stuff.
I don't watch anything else. I don't even know who Shinsuke Nakamura was.
Never said that.
Yes, he did. Go back and listen
Never
to all
said
the
that.
Episodes. Yeah, you
said that.
To this day, I still do not understand why you do not like Dean Ambrose, dude.
Because he's not
Apparently,
entertaining. He's twitchy. He's not a good fit. And the WWE don't even give a, they agree with me. Or they would put him in a major storyline.
They don't watch wrestling.
Let me preach for a minute.
Go ahead.
So,
JK.
Speaking to the guy who thinks he's been in the business for over a year.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I mean, that's factually maybe right, but...
No.
But anyway, apparently from reports that I read, and I'm not trying to be a leaker or anything like that, but...
I pegged you as a leaker.
But apparently Dean Ambrose is frustrated with his booking, and rightfully so. If anyone watched the Chronicle on him on the WWE Network, you would know that Dean Ambrose is a guy that has no nonsense, he has no social media, all he wants to do is wrestle and have a good match. This does not take away the fact that Dean Ambrose, when he is on his game and he is booked correctly, he is one of the best wrestlers in the world, in my opinion.
Oh.
And I fought him, I fought his run as a heel the last 2-3 months or so, up until he lost the Intercontinental title, was, admittedly, it's hit and miss, but I like heel Dean Ambrose way more than a face. I think Dean Ambrose gets a lot more criticism than he deserves. Mostly because Seth Rollins is the man. He's going to be in the main event of WrestleMania. And then you have Roman Reigns, who was the guy in WWE until he unfortunately got leukemia. And then for Dean Ambrose to simply possibly be burned out of the business entirely because he wasn't booked correctly, or the character that he wanted to portray on television, maybe, wasn't what he got, then I can't help but, you know, feel remorse for him, because nothing's worse than trying to get creative input on a character that you know will get over, and they just ultimately shut it down on you.
Okay, so I'll let you finish because I have respect for people who are talking. So here's what I will say to that. He jumped right into the main event when he came to WWE. The Shield and CM Punk were a dominating storyline for the majority of their first year or so that they were there. Guys like Dolph Ziggler, guys like Drew McIntyre have fought to be in the main event. And they've achieved that, and they're there.
So,
and this was, if you interrupt me again, I'm not going to talk anymore.
Let him finish his spot, please.
So anyway, this guy is being a huge adult child, pouty baby, and running away because he's not. I want to be the heavyweight champion, or I'm going to leave. He's leaving. He's not even that good. I respect your opinion. People have different opinions. Good riddance. That's my this is awesome moment. What was yours?
Well, before I get into it.
I'm going to say something real quick. Seth Rollins came in the same spot, but you're not complaining about him. Therefore, he was champion
either.
Before Dean Ambrose. How can you can't use that argument on Dean when Seth was in the exact same spot.
Seth has earned his dues in the WWE. Dean Ambrose hadn't done anything in the WWE.
See, I disagree with that because since day one, that the Shield arrived in WWE, all three of them have taken the brass ring and ran with it. Matter of fact, they've sprinted down the street, and they have never, ever stopped. Maybe Seth did because he unfortunately blew out his knee in Germany, and maybe Roman to a small extent. And by the way, I hope he does really well.
Yeah.
He's doing really well right now. But I used to be an avid Roman Reigns hater only because he was pushed to the absolute moon. But the more that I watched all three of them wrestle, you just know that
they're workhorses.
They were the guys. And that's not trying to be punny because Roman Reigns called himself that. But
they were workhorses.
They had good matches almost night in and night out.
Yes.
And they made six-man tag team matches must see, which before that WWE almost never was able to do.
Them together was awesome at the beginning.
Them separate was okay too. Dean had great feuds with Kevin Owens. He had great feuds with Dolph Ziggler. Mm-hmm. He had great with Seth Rollins, with Roman Reigns. Like,
and that Seth Rollins feud is probably one of the best since the WWE Network launched.
That's my this is awesome moment. He's gone. Bye. What was yours, JK?
I had two.
Okay.
Pete Dunne being in the Royal Rumble, which, honestly, Pete Dunne right now is my absolute favorite to watch right now on any wrestling program. He is absolutely money in the ring. And my second was NXT TakeOver Phoenix, which we never did talk about.
Well, that's another show.
That match between Johnny Gargano and Ricochet for the NXT North American Championship. Absolute money.
Five star.
They continue to do stuff with TakeOver. Somehow it gets better every time. The only letdown with this TakeOver is that they cut it off too early. They showed a bunch of exclusive stuff on WWE.com afterwards. That's how the pay-per-view should have ended. They shouldn't have cut it off when
they did. Speaking of, am I allowed to have three?
Yep. Go ahead.
Sure. Halftime heat, baby.
Yeah. But you know what? They did cut it off like that, but all at the same time, it was actually decent.
It was
well executed. And I will say, I was told beforehand, I watched a lot later, and I was told, it's not a good takeover. I was like, oh, okay. It was a great takeover.
It was a great takeover. The only thing, I watched this with my brother and Steve and a couple other people, and we're sitting there because at the end of every takeover, there's always something that goes down, whether it be the Undisputed Era coming in or it's Gargano attacking Ciampa. And we're sitting there waiting, and they show the little ribbon at the bottom. We're like, okay. But with that being said, we were waiting for that to happen. And then to find out it happened after the show, it was like, come on, y'all. You could have put that on. That wouldn't have compromised anything, and it would have been awesome.
But you were expecting it to happen, and it didn't, so that's why it didn't happen.
Right, absolutely.
Everyone was expecting something to happen on the show. But my This Is Awesome Moment of the Week would have to be Double J Jeff Jarrett showing up on both the Royal Rumble, and it was a nice surprise. And
that was my second one.
And Raw.
Actually, that was pretty awesome. But I got so excited about Dean being gone, I lost it.
That was pretty awesome. And then, that's the end of our This Is Awesome Moment of the Week. All right, guys. So real quick, before we end the show, let's talk a little bit about Raw right after Royal Rumble. And mainly the whole I like that the whole Seth Rollins getting his butt kicked by Brock Lesnar, and they've been leading that feud up, and that's going to be the match and everything. I like the way they executed it. I thought it was great.
Real quick.
Okay with that? Yeah.
Did they do the same amount of F5s to Seth Rollins that he did to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania?
They did six.
Wasn't it that many at the Mania last year?
No, I think it was four, maybe five. But I felt like they did more. I felt like it was more F5s. So there might have been one off camera too.
Are we allowed to interpret that as a callback to the Reigns match?
It's possible. I mean, it could have been. But my main thing I want to talk about is the Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch. Well, first of all, the Ronda Rousey promo before her match, which God. Was garbage, and she stumbled. She even said, "You guys are making me fumble my words," and I think she let the crowd get to her, which is okay. It's amateur. She's less than a year in. I get it. You got a solid match with Bayley. Solid match, because Ronda does do solid matches now, and Bayley's one of the best. Solid match there. Match ends, and then you get Becky coming out at the end. Which, by the way, was not only amazing promo by Becky.
That might have been my moment of the week. There's so many moments this week.
But then Ronda had a great promo back.
Ronda did not have a great promo back. Ronda may have had the promo of the year of 18 and 19 together.
Well, that is her best promo so far.
I may be giving that a little bit more credit than I should. But only because to have seen her put on a zero to start off the show or start off the segment and get as intense and as good as she was, maybe I'm letting that cloud my judgment a little bit. But it was she did what she should have been doing the whole time.
Yeah,
and it was just amazing to watch her.
Now she gets to
grow.
Because we're probably going to get uncaged Rousey for the next 2 months.
Yes, and that's great.
We also got the greatest trash talker, Becky Lynch.
Twitter feud is going to be amazing. The Twitter stuff is going to be awesome.
It already is.
Yeah, it is. And this if this doesn't main event WrestleMania, I'm going to be pissed because I love Seth, and I'm excited for Seth and Brock. Believe it or not, I am. I'm excited for it because I think they're going to be a great match, and it's going to be great. It's going to be a great match. The triple threat match they had a couple years ago at the Royal Rumble, and Seth was in it with Brock Lesnar. That was a great match. So I'm excited for this match, but I'm more excited on the edge of my seat for Ronda and Becky. That needs to be the main event.
So
and it wouldn't have been if it hadn't been for Becky's nose getting broke. The whole the man thing that started, that's what launched this into the main event.
It kind of, yes. I mean, the feud was already there, and I don't think if it wasn't because that match didn't happen, it made people want it to happen.
That's what you're saying, because her face getting broke or whatever it was.
I want to take you guys back to the post-Survivor Series episode we did. What match did I call that was going to main event Mania?
It was definitely Becky. No. It was Rousey and Flair, I think.
It was Rousey, Flair, and Lynch, I believe.
Maybe.
I've been stuck on this since.
No, they better not make it a triple threat.
Well, I was getting into that. But after watching that Raw promo that Becky and Ronda had together, there's absolutely no way they should get Charlotte Flair involved. And I know, given the storyline, that Charlotte should get involved because she sort of did get screwed out at TLC, and she had the match with Rousey at Survivor Series that never saw any finale, so to speak. But those two together, they've just got such an elite level of chemistry and smack talk with one another.
Right. Well, Charlotte and Asuka, they'll rematch at WrestleMania from last year's Mania. And Asuka, she'll either win or the storyline will be Asuka can't beat Flair and Flair will go over again. But those are two phenomenal women's matches for WrestleMania. I'm looking forward to both. And you're right.
Yeah.
Between those two matches, between Becky and Rousey and Seth and Brock, absolutely they should be the last to go on.
We didn't get a chance to do rapid fire and all the stuff. We have this. We're short on time tonight, but we're going to do another. We'll do another episode. We'll talk a little more about it. But right now, the Undertaker is not announced for any. And I also think it's weird they haven't announced any Hall of Fame thing at the moment. It's kind of weird, but. But usually do it before the Rumble.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the Undertaker, I laugh at Meltzer's report. Meltzer's report is currently right now, there's no plans for the Undertaker to be in there's no plans of who his top opponent is going to be. However, that could change. It's like, dude, just say you don't know the answer. Right. You don't know what it is. Quit acting like currently there's no plans. You just don't know what they are. That's why you say there's no plans. It just ticks me off when I read stuff like that because he does that a lot. And I'm like, dude, you don't know. Quit trying to act like you know that you don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but you alluded to the fact that we don't know. There's not been any confirmed names, but y'all remember in the group chat I sent y'all about a month ago, I received an email from the WWE Network that was like, watch great matches from Hall of Famers, blah, blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right, it's all over the and internet, the Undertaker. Too. Yeah, it's people thought, and they changed it. They changed it and fixed it where they said Legends.
Did? Okay.
They said WWE Legends, and they put everybody's name. So Undertaker could go in the wrong.
I didn't read that one, I only read the one where I saw the mistake.
They like redid it, and not if you look at it, it says Legends. But thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate all the support. You can find us all on the podcast avenues, the Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio app, or just go to ringsidepodcast.com. Anywhere you listen to the podcast, we are there. If we're not, send us a tweet, let us know, or send us a message. We will get there. I promise you that. You can find us all on the social media, the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook, at Ringside Podcast. And individually on Twitter, I'm at Daniel Spencer.
At Jeremy _CSZ.
The captain of the Bay Train, Becky above everyone. Follow me at Kruger Mania.
Okay. I'm just expecting Kruger Mania, brother. And then it went into that. So any final thoughts before we close the show, guys, real quick?
No, I was pleasantly surprised. I think for me, what made me give the overall show such a low score is I was expecting something big at the end of the Men's Royal Rumble, or my score would have been bigger. But I loved it.
JK?
I'm ready to go see Walter on NXT UK right now.
Awesome. All right, guys. Final thoughts for me is I'm excited for the road to WrestleMania. So they got me on the right train. So we'll see where it goes. We'll see you all next week. And as always, in the meantime, in between time.
Until next time, you can catch us ringside.
See ya.
Strength. Ain't nobody man enough to feel the pain. And you could be next, you better give respect. Cause ain't nobody breaking this redneck. No, they don't want none.